You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Glory to God. Good to be home.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, we really love these two in Australia. You better look after them or we'll take them to Australia. Hallelujah. Yeah, they've been a real blessing. Just working out how quickly we can get them back. And I haven't told them that yet, but that doesn't matter. You know, when I talk to the Lord, He usually says yes. And then I just got to keep some of these slow learners, keep until they hear the voice of the Lord and come, you know. Hallelujah. And you know, in this age of technology, you've really got to be careful that you don't make mistakes. How many found that out other than me? Hallelujah. Let me share this with you. A couple decided to go to Cyprus for the weekend. But because they both worked, it was hard to coordinate their diaries. So they decided the husband would go one day early and his wife would join him the following day. And on arriving, the husband thought he would email his wife from his laptop. But he accidentally mistyped the email address and sent it off without checking. A widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. He was a minister of many years who'd been called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow checked her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends, but instead found this. "To my beloved wife from your departed husband. Subject, I've arrived. I've just arrived and have checked in, and I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Hallelujah. That's just giving you time to get used to my... How many think I've got an accent? No. Now, we do pray for hearing problems. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. How many know we're in a new kairos? A new season in God. Scripture talks about the times and the seasons. The times are chronos, they're fixed. But the seasons are kairos. And we know we're moving into a new kairos, a new season, when the fathers of the previous season are all going to be with the Lord. And in the last 5 years, 8 years, we've lost a huge number of them across the world. And so we need to understand God's up to something new. He's now preparing to take the nations before Jesus comes. He says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. You know, the devil is not winning. He only thinks he is. Amen. Hallelujah. If you like to read the last chapter of the book, it says we win.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we need to understand there's something new happening around the world in many nations. And I've just been ministering in Vanuatu, which is a Pacific Island nation, about 3 hours' flight off the coast of Australia from Brisbane. And I was asked to come and minister at the first anniversary of the transformations of this island. And how many of you, have any of you seen any of the transformations videos? Yep, absolutely awesome what God's doing. Anyway, I went to speak at this. They asked me to come and minister on the restoration of the manifested presence and the manifested glory of God before Jesus comes. And 12 months before, there was very, very few Christians in the whole place. In 12 months, there were 1,000 people at these meetings. Not only that, but 12 months before, the food situation was drastic. The yams were about as big as pineapples. When I went there, they brought the yams in for a festival before, you know, at the end of the meetings. and two men were carrying one yam on a bamboo pole as big as this in 12 months. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, that presumes that some aren't going to, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not my hand, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, not the unsaved, this is the people of God, and I'll heal their land. They took me to see this orange tree. It was huge. They said 12 months ago we had little oranges like this, were so bitter we couldn't eat them. I ate one of the oranges off the tree 12 months later, this big and so sweet it melted in your mouth. All their fruit trees are now giving 2 harvests a year. The water was full of huge fish that were deadly poison to eat, and in 12 months all the fish are healed. Amen. And I could go on telling you story after story. It's to illustrate that the fact that God is now raising up an end time generation who move in the supernatural naturally. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And God's got us in the school of the supernatural. And it's good to know what God's up to. Amen. Amen. The problem then is we've got to flow with him in what he wants to do, not ask him to bless what we want to do. I'd like to read from you from Mark chapter 6, if you've got your Bible. If you haven't, we'll pray for you to get saved. And reading from verse 30. 30 is 30 in Australia. I say 30 and people hear 1-3. How many thought I said 13? How many aren't game to put your hand up? All right, verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them, and they came together to Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep having no shepherds. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them, the disciples, to make the crowd sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men, so that would have been at least 10,000 people. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he, Jesus, was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Listen to this. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. Let's just pause in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the living word, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here with us right now, ready to reveal yourself in a new way. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We value your presence. We value intimacy with you, Holy Spirit. We value your anointing. We ask you to take the word tonight and break it open to our spirits as revelation. We don't need more information about the Bible. We need to hear what you are now saying. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus gives the disciples and you and me a revelation and a demonstration of who they are, what they are equipped to do, what sort of how they are equipped to live, and how they are designed to operate in the supernatural naturally. They had a commission from Jesus, if you read back earlier in the chapter. And we too have a commission from Jesus. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say go into all the world and get decisions. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have a commission. And when we have a commission from God, the whole of the Godhead is ready to back you. All the resources of the kingdom are at your disposal. How many of you know the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom? Jesus is a supernatural king. The mighty third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God, is a supernatural spirit. And if you're born again, he's living in you right now. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, he's upon you right now. This mighty, supernatural, risen, conquering Christ is living in you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, we are supernaturally born again. Everything about this kingdom and this gospel is supernatural. This mighty, supernatural Christ lives in us. We're transformed. Transfigured. The Greek word is metamorpho. Yeah. Hallelujah. It means from a caterpillar to a chrysalis to a butterfly. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're transformed. We're transfigured. We have the mind of Christ. Yeah. We're partakers of the divine nature. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. We're new creation people. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Everything about you is supernatural. And we are designed to live and act and function in the supernatural as a perfectly natural, normal way of operating. Yes. Yes. But you see, we've been bluffed out of our inheritance. The devil has robbed us of our inheritance. But now we're living in the days of the restoration of all things spoken by the prophets. And God's now raising up a mighty end-time supernatural generation. Because he's about to take the nations and he's going to do it through you and me. Hallelujah. We need to understand who we are. We need to understand what we're equipped to do. We need to understand what sort of people we are equipped and designed to be. The supernatural should be our normal way of living, not an optional extra.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So we have a commission. He says, go out to you, go out, loose the captives, set the prisoner free, heal the sick in my name, cast out devils everywhere you go. Oh, well, of course, maybe there aren't any in this part of Texas. So he's talking mainly to Australians, you understand. Hallelujah. In other words, he says, I have equipped you with everything you need to function in the supernatural naturally. Well, it spoke to me one day, and he said, I so respect unsaved people that I don't expect them to believe the gospel of the kingdom just because you say so. He said, they are so engrossed with the supernatural. Do you know that in Australia, witchcraft and Satanism is increasing exponentially? People are crying out for the supernatural. But we haven't given them the supernatural of the kingdom. And so they're going for the supernatural of the kingdom of darkness. And now God's about to remedy it. Hallelujah. And he said, I so honour unsaved people, I don't expect them to believe just because you say. I expect you to give them a supernatural demonstration of the kingdom with signs and wonders and miracles so they can see with their eyes my kingdom is greater than every other supernatural kingdom in the universe. Hallelujah. And he's brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. You ever wondered why you weren't born in Martin Luther's day? Why weren't you born in John Wesley's day? Why weren't you born in the early Pentecostal outpouring? No, God chose you in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And he built into you every equipment, every ability you need to be the mighty end time church, a church mighty as an army with banners who would fulfill the eternal purpose of God in the earth before Jesus comes. Hallelujah. So we need to understand, for us, there is no supernatural. That is just the normal way we function. Got very quiet in this Presbyterian church right then. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Ghost who is in you doesn't like being bottled up. He is here as the governor of the kingdom to implement the whole will and purpose of the king. And he doesn't like being bottled up. He wants out. He wants freedom through you to demonstrate the power, supernatural power of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You see, experiencing supernatural miracles enables you to see how the invisible realm works. In all of our services, we have a testimony time now, because the Lord has shown us every time you testify about something that the Lord has done for you, it sets you up for a bigger miracle. You're not only giving God the glory, but he's setting you up for a bigger miracle. He's setting you up for a greater supernatural operation. Hallelujah. So experiencing supernatural miracles enables you to see how the invisible world works, how the kingdom of light works, how God's mighty gospel works with signs and wonders and miracles. That's why Paul said, I'm not going to preach the gospel with the wisdom of men. He said, I'm going to preach the gospel with the demonstration of power. Hallelujah. We were talking about this today. Amen. We're living in a new season. God's raising up a new breed of preachers, a new breed of leaders, and a new breed of people who've got some backbone where their wishbone used to be. They're ready to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ, and they don't care what they look like, what they sound like, or anything like. They're determined. They're going through. They're going to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Ghost until the supernatural is operating naturally once again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the last miracle the disciples had gave them what they needed for the next and bigger miracle and to overcome the next problem and see the kingdom of God in operation. So therefore, what was the last miracle? If you go back to earlier in the chapter, it says in verses 7 to 13, we haven't got time to read it, that Jesus called them to himself. Now, here's something that the Lord is showing us very strongly. Everything now has to come out of intimacy with Jesus. All the supernatural operation must come through people who have an intimate, personal, passionate love relationship with Jesus Christ, who won't settle for anything else than an intimate, personal, practical, daily relationship with the Holy Ghost as a real person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So first he called them to himself. And out of that intimacy with him, they were ready to be sent. And if you'll give yourself to seeking the face of God in a new way, out of that intimacy with him, you will find yourself ready to be sent. You will find yourself responding to the supernatural. You'll find yourself hungering for more. Hallelujah. You see, his presence is not an optional extra. It's an absolute vital necessity. And I'm not talking about a mental ascent. I'm talking about a heart relationship. Amen. And so what did he do? Out of that intimacy, he gave them power over unclean spirits. And he told them to go out to the cities and preach the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the church. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. And the script, this word power that he uses here is a very poor translation. The Greek word is exousia, which is authority. The word means authority, competency, jurisdiction, and the legal right to speak and act in the name of Jesus Christ. God has already given every one of us in this room the legal right to speak and act in the, with the authority of the King and his kingdom. But he wants to bring us to the place where we've got enough courage and boldness to begin to get up and talk like it and think like it and act like it and rejoice like it and praise him like it and share Christ like it everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Listen, I'll tell you what. This is the most exciting day to be alive in the whole history of the church. And after 54 years as an ordained minister, let me tell you, I'm more excited about being in the kingdom now than I've ever been in my whole ministry. Hallelujah. Not only do we have the legal right to speak and act in the name of Jesus, as if that's not supernatural enough, but he also has baptized us with the Holy Ghost, which has given us the ability to act. Power, it's called. But it really means the ability to act dunamis by the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to operate with the ability to act, then we've got to come onto intimate terms of relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we know his voice. We know his leadings. We know his promptings. We know his operations and manifestation. We're not saying any longer, is it me or the devil? Maybe it's only my imagination. Well, maybe it's not. Hallelujah. Try it and see. Glory to God. So the disciples went out telling everybody to repent, to change their thinking, to change their attitudes, to change their whole behavior, to change their whole way of living and acting, and to be like Jesus. You see, when we come to Christ, we can't stay the same. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. Bible salvation, as distinct from religion calling itself Christian, means that we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. He's the boss and we obey. And it's not negotiable. Not only that, but then we live clean, pure lives so that we radiate the presence of Jesus. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Radiate the presence of Jesus. Scripture says we are to be aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Well, you know, in Australia, we've got lots of Christians who ought to notify their face. I know it couldn't happen here. And so look what happened. They went out and they just dared to act on the commission Jesus had given them. And to their astonishment, as they obeyed Christ's commands, they were confronted with demons. Hallelujah. Just been at a second visitation to Vanuatu, where I was ministering up on an island where it was regarded as the Sodom and Gomorrah of Vanuatu. They asked me to preach on the first night. And at the end, there were about 1,000 people in this Presbyterian church. And at the end, when I'd finished preaching, I said, just offhand, and wasn't planning to, said, stand up, everybody who needs healing. And 80 people got instantly healed standing in their seats. Amen? Yep, Presbyterian church. The pastor was the moderator of the whole Presbyterian Church of Vanuatu, which is 70% of the whole Christian scene in the island nation. And his sister got instantly, miraculously healed in front of his face. He wasn't preaching the gospel, certainly wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so where I was living, suddenly all these people began to come where I was living because this whole transformation was going on 24 hours a day for 7 days, non-stop. And these people were coming in and saying, you know, can we talk to you? I said, well, you know, sure. Nothing special about me. I'm willing to talk to anybody. And they came in and their babies were getting instantly healed. There was a whole plague amongst the babies in the whole island. The perversion was beyond anything you could possibly describe in a meeting like this. And they were coming in and their babies were getting healed. Their wives were getting healed. They were being delivered from sex demons and getting saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the week, I found out that a huge amount of these men with their families were all the elders of the Presbyterian Church. Hallelujah. You see, God is ready to demonstrate the power of the King and the reality of the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ, with mighty signs and wonders and miracles through you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so here, Jesus has got the disciples and us in the school of the supernatural. Amen? And so they cast out devils, they healed the sick, but they didn't understand that Jesus was setting them up and was now preparing them to handle bigger miracles, to face bigger problems and overcome them, and to move into another higher level of supernatural operation. They told Jesus about what had happened. They came back very excited. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, when you cast out the first demon, you will be totally changed.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You suddenly wake up, wow, these demons are even afraid of me. Hallelujah.
Glory.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And so Jesus said to them, well, listen, this is marvelous what you've done, but come aside and rest a while. Listen, when you have move into a new dimension, you need to get back into intimacy with Jesus very quickly. Hallelujah. And so they went to rest, but the multitudes had found them. And after hours of ministry, with no time to even eat, the disciples said, Jesus, send them away. But, you know, they need to go and travel from this wilderness and get themselves some food. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Well, they were dumbfounded. How ridiculous. Amen? And you know, we get so spiritual about it, but if we'd been in this situation, we wouldn't have been so clever either. Amen? I said, Lord, don't be so unreasonable. I'm putting into Australian for you now. Get a life. What are you talking about, Jesus? You give them something to eat, he said. What was he saying? Haven't you learned anything from the supernatural power you've just been operating in? Aren't you seeing yet what it is with which I've equipped you? Aren't you seeing yet that when you're in my kingdom, you operate in the supernatural as a natural, normal way of life? But you see, they hadn't seen a thing. They hadn't heard a thing. They hadn't learned a thing. When they went out and cast out devils, they thought it was because of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see what Jesus was saying? Haven't you realized yet who you are? That you're my kingdom people? Haven't you yet realized the authority you have in my name? Haven't you yet realized that you can speak and act in my name and all the power of the kingdom is ready to back you up? Now you see, they're still acting out of the natural. Natural reasoning instead of revelation of who they are and how they can act and what they're equipped to do and what sort of people they're equipped to be. Hallelujah. By the supernatural authority and power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They said, how shall we go and buy bread? You know, even if we had the money, you know, if we had to 100 denarii, where would we go? There's no shopping centre down the road. You know, there's no Walmart down the road. Hallelujah. It's impossible, Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? How the devil gets us to be impossibility thinkers.
Yeah, right.
Jesus says, what have you got? Go and see. Isn't it interesting? Jesus always starts with what you've got. What did he say to Moses? What's that in your hand, Moses? He had Moses in the school of the supernatural. Amen?
Amen?
All the way through. And they come back and they said, well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's a kid here, little Aussie kid. He brought his lunch because he's curious about what's happening in the crowd. And we just got this kid's lunch. And Jesus said, oh, my God, it's hopeless. Oh, we'll never be able to meet the need. I don't think so. Jesus isn't part of the problem. He's part of the solution.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so, notice what happens. Jesus commands the disciples to make the people sit down. He does not do it himself. Because he's got them in the school of the supernatural, and he's got you and I right now in the school of the supernatural. Hallelujah. You see, they've got to learn how to operate in the supernatural power of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Verse 41, notice what Jesus does now. He prayed, the same thing that he did with the communion. He prayed, blessed the food, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read this passage for years, and I've always thought Jesus fed the multitudes. Jesus didn't feed the multitude at all. He gave these 12 disciples, listen to me, 1/12 of a little boy's lunch. I think he's missed it. 10 cents short of a full dollar. Jesus, are you sure? Jesus, you don't think you're making a mistake? No, he said, I've given you everything you need to do this job. And so the disciples went out, ran the multitude. They began to break the food. And they broke the food. And they broke the food. And they broke the food. They didn't even register that it wasn't running out. How dumb can you be? Sounds really like an Aussie now. Hallelujah. And they went on. Broke the food. Broke the food. Broke the food. Till the whole crowd was fed. But then the supernatural power didn't stop. They'd gone on breaking it so extravagantly that they had to gather up 12 baskets full, enough provision for every disciple and his extended family. The tragedy was they hadn't learned a thing. They hadn't seen one thing that had happened. They hadn't heard one thing that Jesus had said. Hallelujah. But God began to break this. I was crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, how come they're getting all these miracles in third world countries? Listen, right now the people in the pews in many nations are raising the dead, not the pastors. It's not a matter of theory, it's a matter of record. Amen. Hallelujah. So they gathered up all the fragments. Hallelujah. And so the Lord drew, I was crying out to the Lord, what's the answer, Lord? He began to break this open. I couldn't work out how I'd read this passage of Scripture for 50 years and never seen this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was the answer? We know very well what they had to start with. There was no possibility of feeding that crowd. And let me tell you something. The best you and I can come up with is never going to be adequate. God isn't depending on our ability. He's only depending on your availability.
That's right.
He's now looking for people who are not clever, don't know all the theological answers, but who are just dumb enough to do what the Word says.
Come on.
And you know something I've learned with my lightning quick Australian brain? That if you're just dumb enough to do what the Word says, it works.
Yeah.
I mean, that's deep, isn't it? Hallelujah. In other words, they had been used to perform a massive supernatural creative miracle. I mean, that's some miracle, isn't it? Talk to me, somebody, otherwise I get lonely and go home. Amen. Not the pastor's talking to me, but I can talk to him anytime. I need you to talk to me. Hallelujah. But here's the tragedy. They had still seen nothing. They had still learned nothing from it all. And they thought Jesus did it. I was teaching some teenagers how to move in the supernatural. And we've got teenagers in years 10, 11 and 12 in high school who are having supernatural miracles at school, praying for teachers, and the teachers are getting instantly healed in our church. One 13-year-old was working at McDonald's. I think I've told your pastor this. And she was working on the main counter taking all the orders. It was an hour to go to her lunch break. And a mother came in with a baby with a growth on the side of its head as big as the baby's head. And the Holy Ghost said, go and pray for that baby. She said, Lord, I can't. I can't leave the front counter. My lunch is not due for another hour, and she'll have eaten and gone before then. So if you want me to go and pray for you, you'll have to do something strange. Something that had never, ever happened. Her boss walked out and said, Mary, you could go on lunch now. Had never, ever happened. She said, thank you very much. And she rushed over, sat down beside this mother with this baby. She said, excuse me, 13 years of age, folks. Would you mind if I pray for your baby? The mother burst out crying. Said, I've just been sitting here saying, Lord, couldn't you send somebody to pray for my baby? She prayed for the baby and the growth went down, boom, in the middle of McDonald's. Amen. The mother came to church the next Sunday and got totally saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Listen, folks, I'm not talking theory. God is doing a new thing, and if we don't rise up, he's going to use the children and the high schoolers. Amen. And he's going to use them anyway. Hallelujah. We need to understand that there's a younger generation coming up who are sick and tired of powerless church services. They're too nice to say so. Amen. Glory to God. And when you show them how, you see, we've been long on telling people what to do and short on showing them how to do it. Glory to God. Good preaching, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just encouraging myself in the Lord, you know.
Hallelujah.
And so, after this, Jesus says, righto, guys, get into the boat and go to the other side to Bethsaida. Notice these men were experienced boatmen. They were professional fishermen. They knew how to handle storms. Jesus didn't say, you're very tired, get into the boat and have a little relaxation. He didn't say, go out there and see how good you are rowing in the middle of the lake in the middle of the night. No, he said, get in your boat, go to the other side, to Bethsaida. They had a rhema word from God, which is the basis of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, he never was counting on their ability. And he's not counting on yours. He knows already that all of our ability in here put together won't make it. He's not counting on our ability. He's only looking for our availability so that he can be himself. That you become a mouthpiece, a vehicle of expression for Jesus and the Holy Ghost to be themselves. Isn't that exciting? I think that's exciting stuff. Hallelujah. It's no longer dependent upon me. If I'll just get intimate enough with the Holy Ghost, he'll begin to talk to me. If I'll just get intimate enough with Jesus, he'll start to do through me what he wants to do. Instead of asking him to bless what we want to do. Glory to God. And so they get into the boat and they've been rowing all night. And they're in the middle of the lake rowing against huge waves. And Jesus is up in the mountain praying in the dark. And he looks out in the dark. Let me ask you this. How do you look out in the dark and see a boat out in the middle of a lake? By revelation. By a creative miracle. And he saw them straining at the rowing. And the scripture says he didn't even go straight away. Why? He knew they had all the supernatural power and authority and equipment and demonstration they needed to handle that storm. But they hadn't learned a thing. They hadn't heard a thing. Hadn't learned one thing from all the supernatural feeding of the multitude. Hallelujah. So don't be too discouraged if you're a slow learner. I'm sure all these disciples were Australians. I get more convinced about it every year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, in the fourth watch between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus goes out walking on the lake. He's not planning to do anything about them in the boat. Matter of fact, the scripture says he would have passed them by. Why? Because he knew they already had every supernatural power and capacity they needed to deal with this problem. And he would have passed them by. And when they saw him, they began to panic. Let me tell you, you and I wouldn't have been too bright between 3 and 6 a.m. in the dark seeing somebody walking on the water. Amen. So you don't criticize them too much. And they began to panic. And every time after every situation, they reverted to natural reasoning. See? And as soon as they saw this figure walking, they said, it's a ghost. They're full of fear. Natural reasoning, impossibility thinking will always rob you of your inheritance. Amen? The devil's a liar and the father of it. He wants to keep you blinded to the enormous supernatural resources and supernatural dimensions that are already in you right now in Christ and in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, he never was counting on their ability to get them to the other side. He knew all their ability wouldn't make it. But he was expecting them to act on the supernatural naturally, understanding what they already had. And he's looking to us now, to a new generation who'll rise up and see who we are in Christ. See who we are equipped with in the mighty power, with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. See the authority we have to bind the powers of darkness. See, to command cities to turn around, to command governments to come into line with the Word of God, to command nations to change. Hallelujah. There's one nation where there's a huge move of God, and the president, after it got in, prayed in by the church, by the leaders, began to move to change the constitution so that he could become a dictator. And the church leaders rose up and they said, we have voted you in. If you dare to do this, we have prayed you in. If you dare to do this, we will pray you out. Yeah. That nation is Uganda. Yeah. He backed right off. You see, we are yet going to be speaking to rulers and to governments, to cities and to nations, and things are going to change. Jesus Christ has the last word in the universe. Amen. I can't see a clock. What time is it? Oh, goodness, I've already run out of time. Can you give me 5 more minutes? Is that all right? Sorry, I don't want to impose on you. Hallelujah. See, he was counting on theirs and yours and my confidence in his word. Confidence in the authority he has spoken and given to us by his word. Confidence in the presence and power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Confident on their knowing that they had authority to do whatever was necessary to overcome every opposition of the devil, every sickness, every disease, every pain and every infirmity, by the miracle power that was in them and by the miracle power that's in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, natural reasoning, seeing impossibilities, looking at adverse circumstances will always rob you of your authority to live and move by supernatural power. Listen, folks, we don't have the right to be ordinary. We certainly don't have the right to be mediocre. And we certainly don't have the right to fail.
That's right.
We are the head and not the tail.
Amen.
Above and not beneath. Amen. Everything we put our hand to prospers.
Yes.
The supernatural blood covenant favor of God is upon us in the eyes of the whole society. The problem is it's got to get from here down into here. Until we see ourselves, look at me carefully, until we see ourselves as this sort of people. He that ears hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You can see here, but you can also see here. And God said to Moses, I gave Israel all these miracles and signs and wonders, but I couldn't give them an understanding heart, a seeing eye, or a hearing ear. And now God's restoring all things spoken by the prophets. And so the scripture says, when Jesus said, it's me, guys, don't be worried. He got into the boat. Not a word was said, and the storm stopped. You see, he so knew his authority, he didn't even have to speak. His presence was enough. Amen? I met the Prime Minister of Vanuatu, and I was invited by the mayor of the capital city to see him in his office. I went in and we were sharing, and I said, would you mind if I pray for you? He said, no, he wasn't a Christian. And suddenly the Holy Ghost came and I began to prophesy over this man, shook him to his foundations. Hallelujah. We've got to be ready to do anything. Who cares if we look stupid? Never be afraid of making a mistake. When you've got a sincere desire to glorify God and be a blessing to the people, you will almost never make a mistake. And if you do make a sincere mistake, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost will always overrule it so it never causes any problems. See, it's our willful mistakes trying to impress everybody how spiritual we are that are the problems. And so the scripture says that they were amazed and marveled when Jesus got into the boat and the storm stopped. Why? Here's what it says. Because they had not understood about the loaves and the fishes. I said, Lord, what on earth has loaves and fishes got to do with guys in a boat about to sink? And it says, because their hearts were hard. And the Greek word is poru. And it means, listen to this, calloused, insensitive, and it refers to those who hear the word but refuse to do it and lose the power of understanding in the spirit realm. And so I said, well, Lord, what had they not understood? They had not understood that they had fed the multitudes, not Jesus. They had not understood that they had operated in massive supernatural power. They thought Jesus did it all. And when we had these high school kids moving in the supernatural, some of them hadn't even been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was speaking at a chaplain's camp. And every one of these young people had instant miracles on the spot. See, because they didn't debate about it. They were so excited to find out, wow, we really can do this. And one of the girls said to the chaplain, who's the head of our youth work, he said, I can hardly wait to get home. And the chaplain was shocked because it was such a marvellous camp and very disappointed. And he said, why would you not be able to wait till you get home? She said, I can't wait to get out into the community and start praying for people.
Yeah,
oh, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I nearly got saved on the spot. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. God is now looking for a new generation, a Davidic generation who'll rise up in mighty power and signs and wonders, who'll rise up and be people who manifest and demonstrate the King and his kingdom with supernatural signs and wonders and miracles, because he is going to take the harvest.
Yes.
And don't be deceived into thinking that as marvellously as you've done in this church, Will's Point really isn't much big enough for you to go much further.
No.
God's got enough people in here to impact the whole of Texas. God has never done anything with a majority. Amen? So let me encourage you tonight. The Holy Ghost is trying to encourage you. And young lady in the blue dress, let me tell you something. You have a tremendous capacity to move in the Holy Ghost. And if you'll hear what the Lord's saying tonight and begin to seek the face of God and talk to the Holy Ghost, there's going to come a great change in your life, and you're going to begin to speak and people's lives are going to get changed.
Amen.
I don't know you. Who? Amen?
Good.
Hallelujah.
Good.
All that Holy Ghost is doing is using this lady to show you the Spirit of God is in the midst. The Lord bless you. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.